Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's kick off with the Road to Russia 2018. And the qualifying competition for football's premier event. Teams around the world are getting ready for another series of qualifying matches for the global soccer showpiece. There are a total of 21 qualifiers scheduled Thursday to be played in Europe and South America, as well as a special playoff between Syria and Australia in Malaysia. The Syrians, who have never qualified for the World Cup, might be the sentimental favorites in this two-leg playoff. The Syrians have been forced to host their World Cup qualifiers away from Syria because of security concerns. The second leg will be played October 10th in Sydney, Australia. The winner of the Syria-Australia playoff will then have to play another two-leg playoff in November against the fourth-place team from CONCACAF, the region encompassing North America, Central America, and the Caribbean. In a CONCACAF World Cup qualifier on Friday night, the United States will host Panama in Orlando, Florida. Now, the USA will probably need to defeat Panama and beat or draw against Trinidad and Tobago on October 10th to clinch one of three automatic World Cup berths in the CONCACAF region. Tim Howard has made more international appearances, 119, than any goalkeeper in U.S. men's national soccer team history. The 38-year-old Howard has also turned in some impressive performances at the past two World Cups, Brazil 2014 and South Africa 2010. The USA reached the round of 16 at both World Cups. In Brazil, Howard was named man of the match despite the USA losing 2-1 to Belgium after extra time in the round of 16. Tim Howard made a World Cup record 15 saves against the Belgians. The veteran goalkeeper talks about the USA's quest to qualify for Russia next year.
When you start this hex campaign, that's what you're hoping for. You're hoping to get into October in a position to qualify and to only have to worry about yourself. So here we are.
Tim Howard and the Americans have been training this week in Orlando ahead of their World Cup qualifier against Panama. Benny Failhaber is one of 17 players on the USA team who competes in Major League Soccer. Benny plays for Sporting Kansas City. The 32-year-old midfielder reacts to getting called up for these crucial World Cup qualifiers against Panama and Trinidad and Tobago.
You know, my last camp was a January camp, and my last camp outside of January camps has been, I think, over 6 years, and so I can't stress enough how much of a shock it was for me. But once you accept it and you know it's reality, then you know you focus in as if you've been coming in every camp. And so, you know, these guys are very welcoming, and it's easy. I know a lot of them obviously from MLS and from previous camps, and so I'm just happy to be here and, like I said, do my job.
Benny Failhaber was born in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, the host city of last year's Olympics. Benny's family moved to the United States when he was 6 years old, and he's made 43 international appearances for the USA, including three appearances at the 2010 World Cup in South Africa. With 2018 World Cup qualifying about to resume, This reminder for our Voice of America listeners, 8 teams have officially booked their tickets for Russia next year. They are, in alphabetical order, Belgium, Brazil, Iran, Japan, Mexico, host Russia, Saudi Arabia, and South Korea. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, a look at the Grace Hopper celebration. The conference is the world's largest gathering of women in technology. We'll recap the events in Orlando, Florida, and speak with African women working in the industry in Washington, D.C. and elsewhere for their perspective on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here.
This is the Voice of America, Washington, D.C.
From Pink to Pitbull, Beyonce to Bruno Mars, the hits live here on the Top 20 Countdown. Hi, I'm Ray McDonald, and for the past 30 years, I've been counting down the very best of the Billboard Hot 100 Pop Singles Chart. The hit list never sleeps, so don't you miss a moment of the action. Join me every Thursday for the Top 20 Countdown, right here and worldwide on The Voice of America.
Thanks, Ray, and keep counting them down. I'm sure Russian President Vladimir Putin wants to put his country's best face forward next year when it stages the World Cup. President Putin is not happy about one of Russia's top football clubs, though. He has mocked the club Zenit St. Petersburg for not fielding enough Russian players. Putin told a meeting of sports officials that Zenit couldn't claim to be popularizing soccer as a truly Russian game because it didn't give enough starts to Russian players. When Zenit club president Sergei Fursenko suggested more attractive styles of play could attract fans and make football a real Russian game, Putin quickly hit back. Apparently, referring to Zenit's last Europa League group stage match against Spain's Real Sociedad, the Russian president said in televised remarks, and I quote, "You've got 8 foreigners running across a pitch playing for Zenit in the Europa League. Well done." Zenit started against Sociedad with 3 Russian players, 5 Argentines, a Slovenian, a Serbian, and an Italian. 3 Russians came on as substitutes as Zenit won 3-1 in St. Petersburg. And recapping the scoring, Russian striker Alexander Kokorin scored 2 goals for Zenit St. Petersburg. And the club's 3rd goal came from Argentine midfielder Emiliano Rigoni. My Voice of America producer this evening is Bill Werkinger. Keeping with our football focus so far, kick it, Bill!
Kick it! Yeah. Music Time in Africa offers splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. From the classics of yesteryear to the hot tracks of the moment. I offer you what you need. Free ear therapy and mind massage. Join me, I'm Heather Maxwell, for Music Time in Africa, every Saturday and Sunday at 0900, 2000, and 2100 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa program. By the way, Heather has been in Germany recently on a special media exchange program, and we look forward to her return to our Voice of America headquarters here in Washington, D.C. Turning to tennis, two new movies look back on star players from the 1970s and the 1980s who are all credited with popularizing the sport. I asked Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter, about the new films.
There are two movies that are out right now that both involve sports. In fact, both involve tennis, one of which I was very lucky to go see this past Friday, and that was Battle of the Sexes. It received a wide release in the United States this weekend. It's set to be released worldwide in the next couple months. And it's, of course, the story of the Battle of the Sexes tennis match between Billie Jean King and Bobby Riggs in September 1973. We've talked about that on the show before. They just had the big anniversary a couple weeks ago, and now they have this big major motion picture where they're cataloging this battle for equality on the tennis court. It was definitely a time of social upheaval, so the movie talks a lot about gender equality, but it also talks about how Billie Jean King and Bobby Riggs had different relationships with their spouses. Particularly for Billie Jean King, she, in addition to being an advocate for gender equality in sports, is an LGBT rights advocate. So the movie explores that side of her life and her acceptance of her sexuality. But it's a great film. It was really entertaining. It shows that these figures, these huge titans of sport, particularly Billie Jean King, who has become kind of like a mythical figure in sports for what she's done, that they're human. There are a lot of moments where you see that these are athletes that break down, they get sick, they get hurt, they have to train, they have emotional connections with people, they have emotional troubles that they have to deal with as much as the physical. But it's a great side of this story that we've heard so much about. You get to see inside of that. And the acting is great, too. I mean, it's like watching Billie Jean King and Bobby Riggs up there.
In the new movie, American actors Emma Stone and Steve Carell portray Billie Jean King and Bobby Riggs. The 28-year-old Stone talks about her preparation for the role.
I took a lot of tennis lessons. I met Billie Jean at the beginning, and she started with, you know, asking me questions. She's such an incredible coach, so she really keyed in on what I had in common with the understanding of an athlete, you know, that footwork was going to be important, and I had danced, so footwork was good, or that I had been on stage before, and that when she went out onto the tennis court, it felt like her stage. So she really keyed in on that and made me feel so comfortable instantly.
Emma Stone says she also tried to become more comfortable with mannerisms and small actions by top players on the court.
A lot of details, like the way the balls bounce, the simple things. We went to the U.S. Open, and I was sitting next to Billie Jean, and Sloane Stephens, who won, was, you know, catching balls and tucking them in her skirt and bouncing them with the racket, and I was like, okay, Billie Jean, you see that? It looks so simple. It's just little in-between stuff. That took me months and months to learn the little stuff of bouncing the ball and grab, you know, all of that was wild. How difficult it is, but it was really an amazing challenge.
That's American actress Emma Stone, who portrays tennis great Billie Jean King in the new movie, Battle of the Sexes. Steve Carell played Riggs. What did you think of their performances?
You know, they're already talking about Emma Stone maybe getting another Oscar nomination. She, of course, won the Academy Award last year for La La Land. Steve Carell has been nominated several times before. I expect both of them to get nominated. I wouldn't be surprised if this movie gets quite a lot of nominations come awards season because it is a really compelling and well-done movie. It's a great story. It's the way it's shot. It looks like it's kind of the 1970s, got that feel to it. It's just very cool. And you see deeper than just that headline match. You see how much Billie Jean King did with women, with forming the Virginia Slims Tour, the Women's Tennis Association, which is still the governing body for women's tennis today. And you see Bobby Riggs, you know, he is a Wimbledon champion and a Hall of Famer, winning Wimbledon in 1939. So you see with the longevity that he had in his career and how much of a hustler he was. He wasn't so much of a chauvinist. He kind of put on that persona for this Battle of the Sexes, but he was definitely loved to gamble, loved to hustle. And you saw that Steve Carell portrayed him in the movie.
What about the other tennis movie, Andrew?
Well, the other big one is Borg-McEnroe. It's looking at one of tennis's greatest rivalries between Swede Bjorn Borg and American John McEnroe, particularly their meeting at the 1980s Men's Championships at Wimbledon, a match that many say is one of the greatest ever. The film premiered in Zurich last week, and it's kind of the opposite release schedule from Battle of the Sexes. It's being released around the world in 2017 and not coming to the U.S. until 2018. So we haven't seen this movie yet, but I'm excited to see this. And at that premiere in Zurich, lots of tennis stars out and celebrities. And what better person to ask about such a great rivalry than a man called the greatest of all time? I'm, of course, talking about Roger Federer. Here is the Swiss star's thoughts on Bjorn Borg and John McEnroe, not just as tennis players, but as people.
Wonderful human beings, great people. Been unbelievable for tennis. You know, they paved the way for us. So I'm forever grateful to what Borg and McEnroe did for our sport. McEnroe as a player, singles, doubles, and commentator. And Borg just as an absolute legend and a mystery to some extent, because he wasn't around very much, especially after he retired. And when he played, he was extremely quiet. And I think the movie actually shows that a little bit. So I love speaking to them. They have incredible stories to tell because they lived a different life than what we lived now. It was more rock and roll, let's be honest. Today it's become very professional, but still we had a good time. But it's very similar to some extent. We can still be rivals, yet we can get along well. And I think Nadal and me, we show that, like McEnroe and Borg did as well.
Drawing some comparisons there, maybe there'll be a Federer-Nadal movie coming up in the future, who knows. But also at the premiere in Zurich was Sverre Gudnason, who plays Borg. He admits that he doesn't watch tennis and didn't watch it when he was younger, but he definitely knew who Borg was.
I grew up with Bjorn Borg as this big icon. I mean, he was known in the whole world. He was like Michael Jackson or the Pope or something. And for me, it was just like a big figure in the media. I hadn't really seen those matches. I was too young. I was born in 78, so I was only two when this match got played. But my relationship to him was the legend Borg, the icon Borg. But I did not have any relationship with tennis. I didn't play tennis, and I had never really seen a tennis match.
So two interesting parallels between these movies, kind of the humanization of these big athletic stars. And Sverre Gudnason and Emma Stone said they were not tennis fans before they starred in these films, and now they said they are very big tennis fans after starring as Billie Jean King and Bjorn Borg.
Thanks, Andrew. That's Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter, speaking with me at our VOA studios here in Washington. The Voice of America is celebrating the 75th anniversary year of its first broadcast, and our VOA director, Amanda Bennett, has this special message for us.
"75 years ago, Voice of America made its first broadcast. Today, we broadcast in over 45 languages all over the world. We broadcast in every means that people could possibly want to receive their news and information. We use radio still. We use television. We broadcast for the web, for mobile, and if new forms of communication are invented, we'll be there too. Our mission is really, really simple. We give neutral, fair, objective, independent news and information to people who have no other access to it. And we tell America's story. And America's story is rich and full. It goes from the entrepreneurial climate of Silicon Valley to our great universities to health and medicine and medical advances. It's also the story of America's diaspora, the people who came here from all over the world. I started my journalistic career more than 50 years ago. And here today at Voice of America, I remember just why I became a journalist. It's such a privilege to be working here with the great men and women who are telling America's story and providing neutral news and information around the world. I'm so happy to be here at Voice of America as it celebrates its 75th anniversary, and I feel proud to welcome it into the next 75 years.
Voice of America!
I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOASunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOASunnySports. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see a nice photo by Gary A. Vasquez of USA Today Sports. Gary shows several players on the Minnesota Lynx and the Los Angeles Sparks battling for the ball in the Women's National Basketball Association Finals. The Lynx will host the Sparks in Minnesota later Wednesday night when the decisive Game 5 is played in the championship series. Now, this is a rematch of the 2016 WNBA Finals, when the Sparks beat the Lynx in Minnesota on a last-second put-back basket from Eneka Ogwumike to capture the franchise's third WNBA championship. As I mentioned on Monday's show, Eneka was voted the 2016 WNBA Most Valuable Player. Her younger sister, Chine, also plays in the league for the Connecticut Suns. Both sisters are of Nigerian descent. If the Sparks can win again in Minnesota tonight, they'll be the first repeat champions in the WNBA since 2002, when they beat the New York Liberty for their second WNBA title. Brian Agler is the head coach of the Los Angeles Sparks. Here's a fun fact about the Sparks when they won the WNBA title in 2002. Their head coach then was Michael Cooper, who played with the Showtime Los Angeles Lakers teams during the 1980s, along with Magic Johnson and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Magic has made more than a few business investments since his playing days ended. In one of them, he became part of a big ownership group for the Los Angeles Dodgers Major League Baseball team. The Dodgers are now awaiting to play either Colorado or Arizona in the Major League playoffs. Arizona will host Colorado later Wednesday night in a special National League wildcard game. The winner will then play the Dodgers. In an American League wildcard game Tuesday night, the New York Yankees beat the visiting Minnesota Twins 8-4. The Yankees will next play the Cleveland Indians, who reached the World Series last season before losing in 7 games to the Chicago Cubs. And that wraps up the October 4th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Peter Hundley. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
President Donald Trump addressed a group of African leaders during his trip to New York. He told them,
We hope to extend our economic partnerships with countries that are committed to self-reliance and to fostering opportunities for job creation in both Africa and the United States. Africa has tremendous business potential and represents a vast array of markets. Indeed, 10 of the world's fastest-growing economies are in Africa. President Trump noted that increasing American trade and investment across diverse industries, including agriculture, energy, transportation, health care, travel, and tourism, will further transform lives throughout the continent. The U.S. Millennium Challenge Corporation, administered by the State Department, is already considering an investment worth hundreds of millions of dollars in Côte d'Ivoire, which has made impressive economic reforms. We also hope that African firms, like the company Sasol, will consider making investments in the United States, said President Trump. Sasol is building a $9 billion petrochemical plant in Louisiana, which will create many new jobs in the state. The U.S. will continue its partnership with African nations on critical health initiatives as well. With regard to addressing conflict in Africa, the United States is committed to partnering with countries and organizations like the African Union to end violence, counter terrorism, and respond to humanitarian crises. Terrorist groups such as ISIS, Al-Shabaab, Boko Haram, and Al-Qaeda continue to threaten too many African countries. The United States is proud to work with these nations to eradicate terrorist safe havens, to cut off their finances, and to discredit their depraved ideology, said President Trump. The U.S. is monitoring the ongoing violence in South Sudan and the DRC, where millions of lives are at risk. Real results in halting this catastrophe, said President Trump, will require an African-led peace process. Toward that end, U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations Nikki Haley will be traveling to the continent to discuss avenues of conflict resolution and prevention. The United States, said President Trump, believes that free, independent, democratic nations are the best vehicle for human happiness and success, including in Africa.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, an inside look at Startup Africa, a nonprofit Delaware-based organization that supports youth in building business skills that foster financial independence, create jobs, and grow financial economies. A discussion on Startup Africa on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bunganyi in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 17:30 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
Can't AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.
VOA News.
When news breaks, VOA News is there. Around the clock, listen to VOA Newscast at the top of each hour, along with our detailed news programs and analysis.
We are online at voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.